Howard, reel 3.
The picture at Balik I personally like very much. I think it's one of the most enjoyable pictures, partly I think because of the brilliant colour in that particular watercolour.
Yes, yes.
You did actually not go out intending to do watercolours.
No, no, it was rather interesting actually, because although I've done the odd watercolour, largely in form of making sketches for paintings, when I was a student I was very interested in watercolour. And worked in it a lot, and I think watercolour is like that. You've got to keep working in it. And then I stopped and started to work mostly in oil and drawing, tonal drawing. And then when I went out there, I thought, well, I'll put my watercolours in. And on about the fourth drawing, I walked into a room in the Grand Central Hotel in Belfast, which the army had taken over and had sort of decorated, if that's the word. And it was so marvellous, all its colour, that I thought, well, you can't do a tonal drawing of this subject. And I started working in watercolours. And I don't know whether it was just coming back to it refreshed, but I really did love working in it again. And therefore I started to do this. And in fact, at Balik, did that watercolour. I enjoyed making the Balik drawing. Partly, I think, because I felt that Balik was very definitely a place that was sort of happening day by day. By that I mean that they were always changing it relative to what the threat was. So when I was there, on one of the days I was there, there were men on the roof all the time putting corrugated iron up. And there were certain sort of barriers because they'd started to use mortars. And I'm always very interested. At one time in my painting, I went through a period of actually giving my paintings an exact time and day, because I felt it was very important. When I was working in Spain at one time, there was a particular time of day when the light was like this. I don't know whether it was any influence of Monet's idea of working through several canvases of the same subject. And this went through other paintings, and at Balik, I felt that the drawing I made there, to an informed army person, they could more or less pinpoint that drawing to within 2 or 3 days, I would think, because of the things that were in it at that particular moment. And this sort of excited me towards it, the fact that it was changing. I remember once having a friend who did a book on disappearing theatres of London, and he said that one of the vital things about making those drawings was that you were never sure that the theatre would be there when you went back the next day, or whether the bulldozers had been in. And in a way, with Balik, I felt that, you know, that tomorrow there may be an enormous barrier up, you know, that I wouldn't be able to see the subject. You know, it was changing in that way. Also in the Balik drawing, I've always been very interested in some of my friends often say I paint cars as well as anybody paints cars. And I've always loved sort of vehicles. And of course out there there were these sort of particular types. And I think with a vehicle, as with a head, it's in a way it's a similar problem. If you miss that basic shape of the vehicle, although you may put all the right turrets in and windows or signals or signs or whatever is on the vehicle, unless you sum up the shape of a Saracen or a scout car or a pig or whatever, you miss it. And I love that sort of challenge of trying to sort of nail down that particular sort of vehicle without necessarily becoming concerned with every bit of detail in it. It was rather interesting, actually, I think, working on the military commissions, in the sense that you do fairly soon get conscious of the fact that the military mind, if I may put it that way, is a very exacting thing. And although I never felt there was any need to, as it were, labour detail, whatever one put in had to be right, because their eye is obviously so... I remember recently I did a commission for the parachute regiment, and when I took the rough in, because of my still relative lack of knowledge, there was one berry that I'd put going the wrong way. Now, when it was mentioned to me, it was obviously stupid. Nobody ever pulls a berry the other way. But I hadn't been conscious of this. And immediately, the general who was looking at it, first thing he saw was that that berry was going the wrong way. And in a sense, you know, making these drawings, it's a good thing, because very often I think when making drawings, one can become a bit sort of, I don't know, maybe not, no, that's the wrong thing to say, but it's good to have something which makes you very conscious of the image that is in front of you. And I think working on military commissions is like this. One is conscious of the fact that what one draws has got to be right. It's got to be convincing and it's got to be right. And I don't mean that by every button or every detail by any means, but what is there has got to be right.
Did you find that generals were more appreciative of paintings than you had expected, perhaps?
Yes, actually. I was very pleasantly surprised. I don't know why, really, because I hadn't really had much contact with generals until I went out there, because in the Marines I was a lance corporal, and although I got a lot of commissioned work, I think a major general, yes, I was commissioned by a major general, but I don't know why one should even imagine, but I suppose one does tend to think of the military mind as maybe not being very conscious of the artistic world. But it was the exact opposite, in fact, you know, and a number of the generals that I spoke to were, in fact, you know, very knowledgeable, very knowledgeable.
I was very pleased that General Jones of the Artistic Records Committee bought the painting that we weren't able to purchase.
Yes, yes. Well, there was a case in point, in a sense, because if what I think people imagine were true about maybe the fact that the military mind was interested in fact, as against, if you like, the aesthetic appeal of the drawing or painting, then obviously he wouldn't have bought that picture, because that picture wasn't about a story of a gunner. It was really about a character in a particular situation. I saw this man in this, just on the edge of the Cregan, in one sense bored, in the other sense always conscious of the fact that when he walked out the door, he could be shot at. And I suppose I was interested in the character of the person, and the uniform, in fact, was very broadly painted. But General Jones seemed to like it very much, which was nice. And I think he bought it for the painting as well as for the fact that it was a soldier in Northern Ireland, really.
And you found that colonels of regiments and other people were equally welcoming to you?
Yes, yes. Yes, there was one particular one which was rather funny, really. I went to Bly's Lane, which is a very bad area on the edge of the Cregan. And when we were going round on our three-day whistle stop, I saw a particular subject that I wanted to draw. I'm one of these draftsmen that doesn't believe in moving things around, whether it's landscape or the subjects I was doing out there, because I feel everything, in a sense, adds up to... Everything depends on everything else. You know, a tree is a particular shape and in a particular situation because it is in that, and the winds have affected it, etc., etc. Move it to a different place and it would become a different tree. And I feel the same. Maybe this is why I scored, as it were, with the military, because I was conscious of this. And therefore I never moved things around. But for me it's very important to find the particular view, if you like, the particular position of looking at the thing that, as it were, switches me on. You know, I see it in, I suppose, in abstract terms. But I've got to find the particular situation. When I went to Bly's Lane, I found this particular situation. And when I went back, I said, I want to draw it from out there. And he said, well, you can't... It was a major, very nice fellow, actually. He said, well, you can't work out there. This was the first time when I'd been sort of refused. So I said to him, oh, Lord, I said, that really is fantastic out there. So he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, come up at 5:30 in the morning, as soon as it's light, and you can work out there till 9:30. He said, because the Irish never get up till 9:30. So I said, oh, well, thanks very much. So I went up the following morning, and it was pouring with rain. So I had to sit in the car from 5:30 till 9:30. And I did the drawing from the window in the car. And I went in at 9:30 for breakfast. And the major saw it, you see, and he said, I've got to have that drawing. So I said, no, I'm afraid you can't. I said, I'm commissioned by the Imperial War Museum and they've got to see everything. So he said, oh, he said, well, they don't know you've drawn that one, he said. So I said, well, I said, that's my contract. So he said, well, do them another one. So I said, hang on, I said, yesterday you said I shouldn't go out there because I might get shot. I said, and now you're inviting me to go out there again. So he said, oh, you can do them another one. So in fact, I confess here that I let him have the drawing and I went out the following morning at 5:30 and did another drawing, which in fact it wasn't raining. And as always, one can never repeat a drawing. But the following morning there were things that had moved into different situations. There was a one of the big Saracens had moved in and I liked that anyway. But it was quite amusing. I thought, well, you were very worried about me yesterday, but now you want the drawing. You're not worried about me going out and risking my life again, as it were. But that's only in joke, because obviously he was being very careful.
Really. Yes, that's understandable.
Yes.
The appearance of these vehicles must be very strange in peaceable-looking streets.
Yes, yes. One is very conscious of that. There are so many things which one becomes accustomed to very quickly out there, which you then don't become conscious of until you come home. I came home for a weekend, and my wife said that I was, in fact, very nervy that weekend, and I was conscious of that. We went to Richmond, I remember, and a car backfired, and I did jump, and I normally am very placid, you know. But I suppose having heard a couple of buildings blow up when I was fairly near to them, and the odd rifle shots, these things do affect you. And it's rather funny, when you come home, you don't leave. You, when you go somewhere and going to park your car, you become conscious of the fact that you can't get out of it. And then you think, well, no, I'm home. You know, I can get out of it. Yes, there are things out there which are very different. But of course, like myself, the people that are out there must become totally accustomed to them, really. I remember I was drawing in the Falls Road one day, and an army vehicle came along. And there were a crowd of kids that were watching me draw. And as soon as the Saracen was seen in the distance, they immediately lost interest in with me and picked up all the bricks and things they could find and waited for it and then just gave it a pelting, you know. And obviously to the children, although it's very, very sad in some ways what one sees out there, in a sense it is a game to them. I don't say that it is a game, and I don't say it doesn't affect them ultimately terribly, but it is a game. The sort of army baiting, as it were, is a game. And although I must admit that myself I felt it was a wee bit sad that they weren't stopped doing it. You know, the army is very, very, very tolerant. I don't know whether by order or for political reasons or whatever, but they are sort of totally, totally tolerant, really. I don't know, I had very mixed feelings about certain things like that when I was out there. You know, not that I think, not that I approve in any way of brutality from one side or the other, but the awful thing was that it basically did come from, it seemed to me anyway, I went to this riot and I was very astonished by the control of the soldier. I don't say that nothing ever happens. I never saw anything happen. But I don't say nothing ever does happen. But on that afternoon, if anything had happened, if one of those young soldiers had lost his temper, I must say that I wouldn't have been surprised the things they had said to them. The fact that they were having half bricks thrown at them, and that afternoon I saw three or four men come out either with bleeding noses or with a brick in their teeth. And provocation of that extent, where there was no retaliation, basically. That sort of thing, I suppose, did have an effect on me seeing that side. Sometimes I did feel rather depressed and sad about it. But from the commission point of view, it was a very vital experience, you know, from the drawing point of view.
Well, I think there's an intensity in some of your drawings. The child with a Donald Duck t-shirt,
oh, yes.
And
yes.
The street with the barbed wire, which is a result of having been there. And
yes, I think so.